to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 57. Tonight, I've got the girls with me, Phoebe and Elizabeth.
Hello, podcasters. Good morning or good evening, whenever you're listening to this. Tonight, I am drinking a nice frosty Dr. Pepper.
Refreshing Dr. Pepper, the drink of choice for podcasters everywhere, except Dad, who is a huge loser.
I like Dr. Pepper, but my main drink of choice is Coke Zero. None of these soft drink companies are sponsoring our podcast, though.
No, but if Dr. Pepper is listening, pay my college tuition. It would really help us out.
Just give me a free Dr. Pepper. I've been asking for a lot.
We'll advertise you.
We'll advertise you on the podcast. 2 years of college tuition, which is what you have remaining, and a free Dr. Pepper. That's what we're asking for. Somewhere in that range.
Well, even two years, I might go back for my master's.
A dollar off of Dr. Pepper.
Let's not get greedy now. Let's start with something manageable.
I'm not getting greedy.
So if we get two years of college tuition,
do they both go to Elizabeth? Because that seems a little unfair.
All you asked for was a free Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, see, you need to raise your expectations a little.
If we get free Dr. Pepper, wherever you start the negotiation. I think it should be evenly split between me and Elizabeth, the two main drinkers of Dr. Pepper in the family. Mom drinks a lot of Dr. Pepper, but she's not going to school anytime soon.
She drinks Diet Dr. Pepper.
Actually, who knows?
Mom might go back to school soon.
And I think she drinks more Dr. Pepper than anyone in the family.
That's definitely true.
Let's just reach out and grab it. Pay for all the college tuitions of everybody in this household forever.
All of our children and grandchildren. Or in her bedroom or in even her bathroom. And there's just empty cans of Dr. Pepper everywhere.
Don't shame her. All right.
I'm not shaming her. I'm just pointing out a fact.
All right, so let's get our podcast audience caught up to what you guys are up to. Both of you have jobs now. You're both part of the employed.
I'm employed.
Yep.
Well, I already kind of was employed.
Both have food service jobs. Both have jobs that involve dealing occasionally with people in the drive-thru. So who has the better drive-thru story? That's what I want to know.
I don't have a very... The only time I worked the drive-thru, I've had 3 days of work at a sandwich shop.
So you need to draw on those 3 days of experience.
So, okay, I've done the register and I did 1 day at the drive-thru, but it was on the 4th of July and not a lot of people were there the night of 4th of July. Most people were watching fireworks.
And one other night, there was a big storm that probably kept people away.
Yes, and then last night, it wasn't that bad actually, but I do have a couple. I mean, I have, you know, people who were just angry about like upcharges for fruit, which isn't that funny, just kind of like K, or like people who come in and demand that the manager make them an egg salad even though it's not on the menu. Yesterday there was kind of funny. So somebody came in and what they were trying to order was the chicken, the pollo mexicano. For our Spanish listeners out there,
I pronounced Mexicano wrong.
Yeah, leave me alone.
Pollo Mexicano.
Anyway.
Pollo Mexicano.
Yeah, people
sounds
don't
like
say
it's
it like
a
that.
Spanish language radio
Nobody
station.
Nobody says it like that.
Pollo Mexicano.
Only if you're.
Okay, this is fine.
Pollo.
This is fine.
Violin.
I don't even need to.
Pollo Mexicano.
You can end the story there.
All right, no. Tell us about the order of Pollo Mexicano.
Yes, it is. What it is a baked potato with like some chicken, some salsa, some pico, some spices and cheese. But the guy comes in, this like, this is white dude, kind of, I don't know, middle-aged. He goes, "I'll have the Pollo Mexicano." I said, okay, sir.
Yes, I'll have the Mexican polio. Thank you.
Maybe you've been specifically vaccinated against the Mexican strain of polio.
And he wants to eat it on a baked potato.
It could be tasty.
So that was pretty funny, actually.
And I did have chicken pox on a sandwich, thanks.
You also had a very astute observation about people who order the gluten-free,
yes,
but don't have celiac disease. So
they're all annoying.
And this may be over-explaining, but here's my stance on gluten. Gluten is really great stuff because it helps bread rise. It's basically the protein in bread dough. There's a small percentage of the population, somewhere between like maybe like 2 and 4% of the population that are actually allergic to the protein in bread.
Yeah,
and
that's just gluten. That's a large estimate, actually.
I think that's about what it is.
There's a sizable group.
But you have something that's known as celiac disease. If you have that, you can also have a gluten allergy. Well, that's what it is. Gluten allergy is celiac disease. It's the same thing. Yeah. But if you have that, you should not have bread and you should not have any sort of wheat products. If you don't have that, though, for some reason, there are people out there that believe that gluten is bad for you and gluten-free means healthy, which is not actually true because most of the things that are gluten-free are no better for you unless you have celiac disease. So your observation was...
They're annoying.
People who don't actually have celiac disease but ask for gluten-free stuff...
This one lady was like super angry that there was an upcharge on fruit, and we were like, okay, well, the chips come with the meal. So she's like, fine, I'll just get the chips. And then someone comes over and they're like, oh, just so you know, the chips aren't actually gluten free. She'd ordered all the stuff on gluten free bread, and she goes, oh, that's fine, I don't care. We were like,
what?
All right.
See, I've had people ask me, who, bear in mind, I work in a donut shop.
Gluten free donuts?
Yeah.
Do you have any gluten free donuts?
Yes.
Well,
do you?
No. I mean, there are people, there is a sizable group that can't have gluten, and there are a lot of places that have gluten-free options.
Although, I guess you would think most people would know donut is probably not the good option for a snack food.
But if, I would want donuts sometimes if I was allergic to gluten. But anyway, yeah, that's not fun.
Okay.
I actually wasn't at work today, so that was good. I got to just go to piano lessons.
Any new...
Put on a nice face mask.
Any new... work experiences for you?
I have a few work experiences. So we get really busy in the mornings, as you can imagine, and we get pretty busy.
And you've been working mornings, like starting at 6-7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. And we get really busy in the evenings, you know, because we're the only donut shop open. People want to like bring home some donuts for dessert or for next morning, whatever. But we get there's a kind of a lull starting at like 12 and going till like maybe 4 or 5. And so it was during one of those lulls. I feel like it was around one. Anyway, this family comes in and, you know, one little boy comes in first. He was maybe like, I don't know, maybe 8, maybe younger. He was a pretty small kid, but he runs up to the window, looks around, or like to the glass case, the donut case. He looks around and he yells, "Is this place closed?"
Inside the store. With the lights on and people walking around.
Well, there wasn't anybody else in the store at this point. Like there was just like employees or whatever.
Oh, so he was just demanding service.
Yeah. And so I run up to the front. I'm like, "Oh, hi there. No, we're not closed." And he goes, "This place is empty." And he starts ordering. He's like, "Okay, I'll have one of those. We should probably get a couple of glazed donuts." And his mom comes.
How old is this kid?
He's like 8.
But he's calling the shots. Huh?
He's calling the shots. His mom and his slightly older brother, I'd say he's about 11, like come in, and his mom is like rushing up to the counter, going like, "Hey, you're not supposed to order donuts." And she's like, "Okay, we'll have one of those, and we should probably get a couple of glazed." Like orders the exact same thing, and he's like, "That's what I was saying."
that's pretty funny.
And the older brother seems kind
going
of
places.
I know. He was really cute. He was just very, very loud. He just knew what he wanted.
I see him as a future CEO.
We say,
but
he's
assertive.
A take control kind of guy.
He's assertive. I said that weird.
Yeah, no, but his older brother seemed kind of embarrassed. He was a couple years older than him, like just barely older.
The easily embarrassed age.
Well, he was like...
Oldest children carry
a lot like
of
10.
Responsibility.
Well, if she said he was like 11. 11-year-olds are the kids who get really like just...
Just kind of embarrassed.
Well, yeah, no, 11-year-olds are always embarrassed about their
families. He was a very sweet kid. So I was checking them out, and the younger kid goes like, "Those donuts look good." And he points behind me at like the rack of donuts that we keep to restock everything. And I was like, "Oh, yeah, they're pretty good." And he goes, "I'll take all of them."
The 11-year-old?
No, the youngest
one?
Kid, yeah. You know, I kind of start laughing, and his mom starts laughing, and she says, "No, you don't need that many." And she's like, "Do they cost money?"
Yes.
I said, yeah. And he says, does this entire store cost money? And his mom was like, I'm sure it does, sweetie, you know, like kind of embarrassed or whatever. So they go sit down to eat. They eat their donuts or whatever. And after, like, midway, almost when they're finished, not they're not quite finished yet, but the older brother comes up and says, thank you very much. This is a very good donuts, good service, I think is what he said.
And I was like, they're like the two sides of they're like opposites, aren't they? These two personalities.
They're foils.
Yes.
They're both very articulate. They're both very articulate boys, mm-hmm. like very, very friendly. But yeah.
Good donuts, I think good it's service. Like,
good donuts, good service. And does this entire place cost money? So that was they were very charming. That was the highlight of my day.
Yeah.
So
I had a relaxing day today.
Just so to update.
You didn't work though.
I know, that's what
you
I'm
all
saying.
What's okay. going on in my life. Lately, I've been having very strange dreams. And I think it's because I've been not sleeping that well, except I finally get to sleep like, you know, later on in the evening. And then I wake up suddenly because I've been taking Elizabeth to work and I have to go to work. But something about like when you wake up suddenly from a deep sleep, you tend to remember your dreams.
Yeah.
Yes, so I actually know a lot about
the last couple of
this.
Dreams I remember like very detailed. So the first dream... Two nights ago, I had sort of a work stress dream. And basically, the gist of the dream was, so I'm responsible for a section. I work in a legal department for a big company, and I'm responsible for the group that
pharma.
Is over employment law. And my dream was, I was at work, and we were giving a big presentation. It was like a presentation of the whole department. And my part of the presentation was like the part on employment law, but I came into the presentation totally unprepared. I was so unprepared that I could not even find my slides in the PowerPoint deck. I was like searching, and I didn't know what they looked like. I hadn't seen them. And then once I did find them, I didn't know what they meant. So I was trying to fake it. Like, I remember, and for some reason I remember this, like there was something about a Supreme Court case called Crystal Canning, the Crystal Canning case, which is not a real case.
Well, obviously, it was a case involving canned crystals.
And there was like all this language about the case, and I didn't know what it meant or what it was. And so I tried to use the Socratic method and say, well, what do you all think this case means? And like, I was like, inside, I was thinking, oh, crap, oh, crap, oh, crap. I'm so in trouble here because I have no idea what I'm doing. Because I sort of walked into the presentation thinking, well, it's just going to be a general overview of employment law. And I know enough about that. I can just fake my way through. And then it turned out to be like very detailed and I didn't know what I was doing. So basically that dream, and that was at the point where I woke up and I was like, oh, thank you. Thank you for waking up. Basically, it was the equivalent of like the professional equivalent of going to work with your underwear on.
Yeah, or like
except
study
it was
for
a big
your math
presentation
final. Yeah.
In front of like all of my peers and my boss, and I was failing badly.
I used to have dreams like that about when I was in theater, and I did for a while after I was in theater. It occasionally happened, but I would have reoccurring dreams about being in a play, not being prepared, and just going on and being like, I don't know what I'm doing.
I used to sort of have that dream because I did wrestling in high school. I did 4 years of wrestling. And for years after I graduated from high school, I used to have this dream that like my wrestling coach called me up and he said, Greg, we need you. I was like, what are you talking about? We need you to come down. You got to make weight. You need to be in this tournament. And I was like, I haven't wrestled in years. I don't think I can make weight. And he was like, nope, we need you. Get down here right now. So I used to have that dream. But so the second
student
dream I had
athlete.
This morning, the dream that I had was I think I was traveling. And I don't know for sure whether I was traveling for work or for like pleasure. But I think it was a work trip. But for some reason, I was driving down the road, and I parked my car on the highway and walked into town to where my hotel was. And I walked into town. I remember the town was very detailed. It was kind of a cool town. It had, like, these retro diners and, like, old-fashioned theaters and lots of, like, neon signs and stuff. But I was walking through town with this giant pillow. You know those pillows that are, like, two or three times longer than normal pillow? And I had that under my arm, and I was walking. And I was walking uphill, and I was so tired, I felt like I was going to fall over. You know how, like, in dreams, when you try to run or walk, sometimes it's, like, really hard? It's like you're up to your waist in a swamp or something?
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, this is so horrible, and I might die, but I just need to keep going until I make it to my hotel. I don't know why I parked out on the highway. That makes no sense. I should have just driven right up to the hotel, but then, I don't know, I woke up. So I've been having very strange dreams.
Yeah. You know a lot about dream science. I went through a phase in middle school where I was really into researching dreams.
Did you watch Inception?
No, it was, I really wanted to learn how to lucid dream.
Oh yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
But then I just got into researching them because they're super interesting. But a lot of people say they don't have dreams or they don't dream, which is a lie. The average person actually dreams about 7 dreams a night. But then you only remember a dream if you wake up in the middle of it or if you're disrupted before the dream finishes. So you remember the dreams right when you wake up. And a lot of people actually, they remember it right when they wake up and then they forget about it. So they don't even realize that they're remembering them.
Yeah.
But which is why if you start writing down your dreams, you'll start to remember them really well. But, which I used to do. But, yeah. But, yeah. It's just that if you remember a lot of your dreams, it probably means that you're getting disrupted a lot in your sleep.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's because I haven't been sleeping really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been sleeping very well either. But I have a ton of weird dreams. Like, I'll have, like, I just have a lot of weird dreams. I don't know why I can remember them all.
The other thing that was weird about my dream last night, and this was a different, I don't know if it was a different dream or a different part of the dream, but I dreamed about, like, part of the dream took place in this museum. And when I woke up, I remember thinking, well, I know that's a real museum, but I couldn't really locate it anywhere in the real world. And what I decided was, I've never actually been to that museum. I've only visited that museum in another dream like years ago. Because it was this museum. It was kind of like a science / art. It was sort of an all-purpose museum. And then when you get to the top floor, you can like go out the back door and you can ride this train around. And it's kind of like a little zoo that goes in a loop. Huh. And you, from the train, you can see the zoo animals. But I remember it very like detailed, exactly what it was like. And I was convinced it was an actual museum. I was like, well, that was a dream, obviously, but I've been to that museum before. And then when I thought about it, I was like, no, I haven't actually been to that museum, except for in another dream I had years ago.
That's so weird.
Yeah, I've done that before, too.
Have you ever tasted anything in a dream?
Yes, it's always really good.
I remember once when I was a kid wondering whether or not I could taste anything in a dream. And then I had a dream that I was eating spaghetti and it tasted like spaghetti. And I decided that, yes, you can taste things.
All my dream food tastes really good. But then I feel like a lot of times lately, I dreamed about food a lot when I was little. But now I just have dreams where I'm about to bite into something and then I wake up. And it's horrible.
Are you hungry in the dreams?
I'm always hungry.
Or
I always want food.
See, I have a habit. I sleep on my stomach a lot. So sometimes, like, my arm gets, like, kind of pinned under me, and so I'll have a dream that I'm getting, like, my arm so sawed off or something, and I'll wake up and my arm, like, there is just numb.
I would always, during the school year when I woke up at 5:30 for seminary or for Bible study stuff, wake up at 5:30, I didn't wake up a lot because I was really bad about going the second semester. The first semester I had, like, 98% attendance, and the second semester I, like, barely passed with 75% attendance. So I was not the best about going, but
you were very busy that semester too, to be fair.
I was, and it got really, it's really hard for me to wake up that early regularly. Like it really, I'm just not, no one thinks they're a morning person, but I'm like, actually, my body did not want to, it would like, my mind would learn how to like tune out my alarm slowly.
Yeah.
Like it would train itself to like sleep through it just because I needed the sleep so bad. Because then I'd be up until like 1 doing homework, but
oh yeah, like I've actually this morning I did this thing where like I still asleep, I got up, turned off my alarm, and then got back into bed, went back to sleep without waking up.
But I would have dreams where I could hear the alarm, but it was something else in my dream. It would be like a fire siren. It would be like a siren,
or somebody yelling at you. I've had that before,
or no, not someone yelling at me. Usually, some sort of like alarm. Like, but not a sleeping alarm. I don't know what to say to that. But yeah, I would have weird dreams and it'd be stressing me out, but I'd be like, oh, what is that? And then I'd slowly realize, like, that's my alarm clock and I'd have to get up and then probably turn it off and go back to bed because I wasn't fully awake.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So I did want to mention one piece of news that's about the house here. Today, creature left us a very gory present.
Yeah, that's not like good podcast material. That's
I know, but
gross.
We've talked about this before. We've talked about how in our neighborhood we have predators, we have coyotes, and we have bobcats.
Okay, but
in our neighborhood we have predators.
And sometimes in the fall we have owls.
Okay, but
and hawks.
These are their stories.
Something left a whole bunch of gore on our front.
Yeah, like completely disemboweled.
Yard. See, you say,
and it looks like it's so gory. It looks like zombie gory, like from a zombie movie.
Oh,
it's
really gross. Yeah, that's why I had to stop watching whatever Walking Dead. Whatever
I
it
think,
is.
You say it's a predator, like a hawk or something. I say it's a demon trying to appease us.
Okay, you joke, but someone on the Facebook page thinks that there's a serial killer because serial killers always. No, they like practice practice on animals first.
Torturing small animals is like a sign.
They do
that someone's
practice
become.
And they leave it out and then they kill people. So I'm saying if
maybe
it's on our lawn,
we're
like
or like in a real life game of Mafia and somebody's psycho kid is out there torturing animals.
But
it might not be a kid.
The more obvious conclusion though, because bobcats and coyotes will both do that and hawks will do that too. It's really gross though.
It's a demon. Pretty sure it's a demon, you guys.
Super gross. But yeah, it's been on multiple lawns. So,
demons are pretty big on gross, so you know.
And then one other thing, Elizabeth, do you want to give us an update on, we have not recorded yet our TTD D&D.
Yeah, it's in the works. Episode one is in the works. Still trying to decide what to name it. I have, if this is any indication, I threw out like half a metric ton of Shrek puns for the first episode's title.
My character does not have a name yet, so if any of our listeners have any suggestions for what my character should be named.
Kevin.
I will, okay, you know what? I'm going to go ahead. If you do not come up with a name, that is being notorious, just really fickle about like what he wants to have his character be named or do or have a personality.
Maybe,
and if you do not name it within the next 2 weeks, I'm going to name him Bob Ross.
Bob Ross would be good.
No, it wouldn't.
Jaden Smith.
Please give him an actual name.
He can be
name.
Good at fighting and using swords and painting happy trees.
He's an archer.
And painting happy trees.
Why would he be good at swords if he's an archer? Okay. All right.
Should we do some news?
Maybe yes. He want to have
we
an archery.
Some news. We should do some news, I said.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
Okay, so I have for our first story, LA police finds house full of venomous snakes and a pool full of alligators. This is from July 6th. We're recording this episode a little bit in advance because we're anticipating our family vacation, so I'm trying to get some episodes stacked up. Mm-hmm. This is from July 6th, Los Angeles, United Press International. Animal control officers served a search warrant in Thousand Oaks, California, and found several venomous snakes, deadly reptiles, and a pool of alligators. A neighbor alerted authorities after a cobra escaped the house and was found slithering across the property of the adjacent house. The neighbor ran over the snake with his car before placing the call. This was the second time a venomous snake had escaped and entered someone else's property. Worst neighbor ever.
Seriously, yeah.
Can you imagine having a cobra slither into your yard? That would freak me the heck out.
I've seen many snakes in my yard in my day.
But a cobra?
I've also seen...
A cobra would be so terrifying, when it, especially if it had the big hood.
Yeah.
I've also seen a disemboweled bunny.
Please,
cobra's worse.
We're going a little heavy on the animal gore.
That's article says that when our officers arrived at the home, they found a nest full of poisonous snakes, reptiles, and a pool of 8 alligators. There is a...
Was there a picture? I want to see.
There is a picture. It doesn't really show... There's a picture that shows the alligators in the swimming pool.
I don't want to see.
And there's also
that.
A picture that just shows some containers. It says... the snakes were removed from the property and placed in bins. The reptiles were placed in plastic aerated containers. And then there's a Instagram post,
that's
I think
horrible.
This is, that says, over 70 venomous snakes seized from a Thousand Oaks residence, including cobras, gaboons, puff adders, and rattlesnakes.
That is terrible.
This was the same property that allowed an albino monocled cobra to escape in 2014... which became a sensation on Twitter and generated news headlines such as albino cobra continues its suburban reign of terror.
Where is
this? I think I remember that from a few years ago.
Where is this?
Thousand Oaks, California, which is sort of, I think it's south of LA. It's the LA suburbs. The snake was eventually captured and put on display in the San Diego Zoo. So it doesn't say what's going to happen to these snakes, but I imagine something similar.
They just wanted to go
make it
in Hollywood.
I can't imagine living next to someone that has 70 extremely venomous snakes living in their house. That would be terrifying.
Yeah, it would be terrifying. But one highlight of this article is just imagining, okay, have y'all ever seen like a snake, like somebody who like handles snakes professionally, like with one of those sticks that like can pick up snakes?
What's a, what's like, someone say, right, is it head? A herpetologist?
I don't know.
No, it's a you know that
everybody's
series
whipping out
of
their
unfortunate
phones.
Events.
What is a herpetologist?
According to Wikipedia, herpetology, from Greek herpin, meaning to creep, is the branch of zoology concerned with the study of amphibians, including frogs, toads, salamanders, newts, and caecilians, gymnophiona, and reptiles, including snakes, lizards, amphisbands.
Oh, okay.
I think that's right. So a herpetologist. Maybe there's something more
literally
specific
in Greek,
that deals with.
Herpetologists in Greek are literally just creeper studiers.
They study those creepers.
They study those creepers. But, like, have you ever seen somebody, like, a herpetologist hold out on a pole and they're just wiggling really furiously because they're like, I don't have any arms!
Yeah, that pole that they use to pick
up. I'm so angry, I don't have any legs!
Guys, I have a theory about snakes that I think is groundbreaking. I think if you were to go inside a snake's brain and just listen to its thoughts would be, I don't have any arms! I still don't have any arms.
Do you know why they don't have any arms, Phoebe? Do you know why? Like, literally, the scientific reason why.
It would also think things like, my album 1989 was a smash hit.
Phoebe!
Do you know
why they don't have any arms, though? Like, seriously, this is a serious question. Like, scientifically, why they don't have any arms?
Because it would look really weird.
No, lizards, Phoebe, lizards.
Think of a giant snake with human arms.
Because they lost their Sonic the Hedgehog gene. That's literally what it's called, is the Sonic the Hedgehog gene.
Phoebe, you know the basilisk in Hogwarts?
Yes.
You know which house its favorite house was?
I just like to slither in.
Please.
Just slither in, yeah.
It's
so, who wants to do their story next?
I'll do one.
Okay.
My chair is really squeaky. I'm sorry. I need to make it stop.
I don't have any arms.
My album, 1989, was a smash hit.
Please. We're not just going to go and repeat our greatest hits.
Ba-dum-t. A professional runner. Are you done?
No.
All done.
You know what eats crickets?
Snakes.
Snakes.
I was just about to say that. That's not even a pun. That's not even. That's just a scientific fact. Some snakes
our
like
got a little
to
out
eat.
Of control there.
The live band really needs to cut it out.
read your article.
I don't know what to do. I'm not going to read it anymore.
Okay, I'll read mine.
No, I'm going to read it.
Okay.
A professional runner from Kenya who was out training on a nature trail in the woods near his home in Maine said he encountered two charging black bears but was unable to outrun them. No, sorry, was able to outrun them.
Okay, first of all, Maine was also the setting of our rabid raccoon story.
Maine is a wild place.
Now we've got charging bears.
Maine animal.
It's not that terrifying. Bears have really short
Maine
legs.
Maine animal.
Just run downhill and
they can run, though. Bears can run.
I mean, I know they can run, but should they?
Florida man's pet is Maine animal.
They're like in the two corners of the country, though.
Yeah, but
it's a long-distance relationship. Can't stop them.
It's like,
oh boy,
it's Star-crossed like the cowlick lovers. And the big toe of the country.
Marube said when he saw the bears early Wednesday, his instincts kicked in and he did what he does best, run. He told us that the bears were 20 yards away from him and a vacant house was 20 yards away in the opposite direction. So he made a run for the house with the bears closing to within 10 yards by the time he found safety on the house's screen porch. The bears stopped, not realizing they could have easily crashed through the flimsy porch screens, Marube said.
You fools.
They sniffed around for a while before wandering away. Warrens advise people who encounter black bears to make themselves appear big, make noise, and back away slowly. But they recommend people stand their ground if a bear charges and say, if the bear attacks, then fight back. But Marube says, that's easier said than done.
No kidding.
I think running was a good option for this guy.
Yeah, for this guy.
Do you guys know about Kenyan runners? So the Kenyans are the best distance runners in the world.
Didn't they run
They,
barefoot?
Like, have all of the records on, like, every marathon. Every major marathon, Kenyan has set the record. And usually when you look at, like, the results of a marathon, it's, like, the first, like, 5 or, like, 8 out of the top 10 are all from Kenya. They're just, for some reason, they're really, really good at running. And like, they will run a marathon, 26 miles, and every mile will be faster than I have ever run a mile in my life. Like, they're running, like, like 5 minute miles for 26 miles in a row.
You know why? Because in Africa is where all those animals are, all the lions.
But it's not everywhere in Africa. It's only in Kenya where these really good runners come from. I think they all come from the same tribe.
Kenya has many rabid raccoons.
But they're extremely good distance runners. So when he says that he did what he did best, he started running. I think that was a good move.
Okay.
Play to your strength.
See, that was, I was a little confused about that because I was like, wait, what?
So if I were to encounter a bear, I would... Oh gosh, what strengths do I have?
You would
have?
Say, hi, Dad,
any.
What's going on?
I think your best thing to do would be to just drop down and play dead. Apparently that works.
My strengths
would probably
be... You're pretty
good at just sort of...
I could play piano at it. I could take an economics test.
You could pull out your ACT deck.
No, I'm not even good at all of ACT deck. I'm only
you
good at like
are,
some of it.
Like, you got like so many
I'm good at some
awards.
Of it. I'm good at economics.
You
I don't
well
have
good
at
essay
writing. My overall's okay. Could be better. Anyway, I don't have any strengths that would help with the bear.
So he successfully made his way to a vacant house before the bears caught him. They sniffed around the screen door and then they left. Is that all the rest of the story?
He learned an important lesson from his close encounter with Maine's wildlife. Just make peace with people. You never know when your day comes.
What? What did he say? What?
There's
you never know when your day comes. Like, not today, bears.
There's some zen to that, though. Like, make sure you have a clear conscience, because any time you might just get attacked by wild bears.
There's all these like jokes about like living in Texas is intense or like living in Australia
Texas
is intense.
Isn't that intense.
Texas isn't intense at all. Like I
not our area. There's probably some areas that are more intense than
Maine
like
is intense.
The suburbs.
Maine,
of North,
you just gotta make your
North
peace because you might just get mauled by a bear or something.
You just gotta make your peace with people.
Angry moose just charges through your kitchen like it's your time.
I wonder if he'd had a really big feud earlier with someone. He thought, man, I'm so glad I didn't die. And that bear attack, because that person would have been like, yeah, he was kind of a jerk.
Yep, yep.
I feel like if there was a confrontation with me and a bear, I would probably fight back, because I don't think that I'd be able to survive it. I think that I just want the bragging rights to say, I punched a bear one time when I was alive.
I think I would probably just curl up into. I would probably just lay down and cry.
It seems like the story everyone tells, like,
well, actually,
you know
that, that
you know
will
the guy,
work.
You know the guy? I think you know this guy. The guy that's always telling stories and everyone else is like, yeah, that never happened.
Yeah, that never happened.
It's that guy is always telling the story about how once he was like body surfing and a shark came up and he punched him in the nose. He just punched him in the nose and then the shark swam away.
Oh, man.
That's
see,
the
actually,
story.
Actually, Phoebe, curling up on the ground and crying is actually a pretty good move because bears are deathly afraid of emotional vulnerability. They're like, oh,
I
don't know what
to.
They're there. I need to go real quick.
They're also deeply afraid
so
of commitment. So if you just propose to it, it'll
just
run.
Get down on one knee. It'll just swerve the opposite direction. Oh boy,
they also have a deep insecurity and a feel of failure.
Mm, yeah, you know, bears are really. Are really emotionally
you just
vulnerable
look at and you
people.
Go, they're really misunderstood.
They're not people, I guess.
But never
but
get
are...
into a relationship with one.
But they no. do sometimes walk on their two hind legs, which makes
and they
them
look real
person-like.
Funny. Yeah, they look like they're a person with like a little bit of a gut. They look like toddlers.
Yeah.
Huge.
I saw a video on
toddlers.
The internet. One of the best bear videos I've ever seen on YouTube was there was this guy who was sitting in this lawn chair and he was watching some bears like across the river. He's like some sort of naturalist. Mm-hmm. And this bear comes up behind him.
Comes up behind him, just chills next to him.
And just sits down next to him, watches with him for just a couple minutes, gets up and walks away. It was just so funny because it was so chill.
He
was like maybe 4 feet away from him and he's just hanging out. I was like, hey, what's up, dude?
Just sitting down having a cola with my bud.
That was my favorite bear video.
Cracking up with a cold one with the boys.
Not sure I could find it again, but I saw that a few months ago. It was very funny. Mm. Elizabeth?
Okay. My news article title is Hundreds Gather in Malaysian City to Set Cat Costume World Record. July 6th, a group of feline fanatics wearing cat costumes gathered at an awards show in Malaysia to set a world record. It was apparently hundreds of people. It says 440 people, and it's, quote, the largest gathering of people dressed as cats.
I think about that?
What?
If I were there, it would give me pause.
Oh, boo.
But I'd be feline great about it.
Please stop.
Why you like this. They're really attacked.
The record required that all participants wear a full body costume, including whiskers, ears, and a tail, be grounded, counted towards the grand total.
So you had to have the tail?
You gotta have the tail.
A tail is all the time.
Is like the ultimate give up costume for a girl. Like if, oh, I don't know what I'll be. Maybe I'll just get some cat ears. I'll paint some whiskers on my face and I'll be a cat.
Yeah.
Leave girls alone. Let them be cats.
In fact, I think that was in an episode, like a Halloween episode of The Office. It was like all the girls in the office just showed up as cats with cat ears and whiskers. Anyway.
Yeah. Apparently, it was in the Malaysian city of Kuching or Kuching? Kuching?
I'm not sure. I'll go with whatever you say.
Yeah, Kuching. And the name translates to cats in the local language, and the city is filled with statues and museums dedicated to felines. So it's a good place to hold it. Apparently, it was mostly like a bunch of kids who were really excited to break a world record.
How many was it? 400 and...
440.
Does that seem kind of a little bit low to you?
Yeah, that seems very low.
That sounds very breakable.
Just have like a cat convention, you'll get more people than that.
It seems very... Like, you could just send out the word and have people gather downtown, and you could probably break that record.
Yeah, but,
Or be like, oh, I'm going to break a record for, like, most people wearing a ceiling fan as a hat. Oh, we got 5. Oh, we broke it.
Yeah, there were some people that we know that recently broke a record like that. It was, like, the most people... gathered together making sandwiches at the same time.
Oh, yeah. That was like
any given Firehouse subs.
It's that kind of a record, you know? Although I don't want to take anything away from this town in Malaysia. Congratulations.
I do.
They got the record.
But
it does seem like you could come up with something like that you could break
any
that record.
Given
if really
number
tried.
Of people on a trampoline currently licking the trampoline.
You.
Like, I can go outside and do that right.
Don't,
I can break
don't
the,
lick the trampoline.
I'm gonna do it right after the podcast.
And especially, I don't like There's the idea of a there. Lot of people licking
so?
The trampoline.
Maybe
just a whole bunch of people on a trampoline. Like, how many people can
you
fit on a trampoline?
You gotta break it. Like, you're gonna
actual,
break it.
Maybe
that's an actual safety concern.
Yeah.
All right, one last story. And there's some discussion that'll need to happen with the story. It says snortable chocolate powder promises drug-free buzz.
Oh my, really?
A Florida company, Florida.
This is what we're doing? Oh, of course it was Florida.
A Florida company calling themselves Coco Loco.
Oh, please.
No, actually the company's name is Legal Lean. It's offering a product that they're going to call Coco Loco. It's a powder starting at $24.99 on its website. The founder of the company, Nick Anderson, told the Washington Post he's tried to develop a powder made up of typical energy drink ingredients such as ginkgo biloba, taurine, guarana, after hearing of a chocolate snorting trend in Europe. At first, I was like, is it a hoax? He said. And then I tried it and I was like, okay, this is the future right here.
Oh, come on.
Wow.
29-year-old Anderson invested $10,000 to develop the chocolate snuff, which creates an effect, quote, almost like an energy drink feeling, like you're euphoric, but also motivated to get things done for about 30 minutes to an hour. While Coco Loco is available for purchase in the United States, it has not been approved by the Food and Drug Administration, which has not determined how to regulate the product. A doctor from Johns Hopkins had this to say. He says there are a few obvious concerns. First, it's not clear how much of each ingredient would be absorbed into the nasal mucous membranes. And, well, putting solid material into your nose, you could imagine getting stuck in there or chocolate mixing in with your mucus to create a paste that could block your sinuses.
Ew.
I predict.
Chocolate
so this guy,
sneezes.
Apparently they're selling it now. We're... less than 1 month away from like news stories about people going to the emergency room.
I was about to say, we're less than 1 month away from the apocalypse right here.
It does not sound like a good idea.
It's right. Like the cinnamon challenge went well. You know what we should do next?
It's right there in the Bible, you guys. If you snort chocolate, you bring about the apocalypse. It just
snorting cocoa just doesn't sound like a good idea.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Plus, it's got all that other stuff that it's all stimulants. And you're like, when you snort stuff, it's like a very direct way to bring it, assuming you do absorb it through your mucous membranes. It's a very direct way. It's just all around. It sounds like a really bad idea. And I'm not surprised.
I think it sounds
that it was a 29-year-old dude from Florida that came up with this.
I think it sounds choco lit.
I think it sounds choco loco.
Coco,
whatever. So I don't have any respect
you
for this
tried.
Brand.
Also,
I don't want it to pay my college tuition. Actually, yes, please do pay my college tuition.
It also kind of makes my nose itch. It makes me want to sneeze. Can you imagine?
But we will try to sponsor us.
Nose.
We will try it for a snort yourself.
I'm going to draw a line and say we will not try
it. I mean, wait.
Even snort if yourself. You want.
Yeah, or for a snort yourself.
Even if you want to sponsor us, we will not try Coco Loco. Not in this
we'll
house.
We'll, like, pretend to.
Not in this house, young lady. Not in this house.
Can we pretend to just make snorty noises on the podcast?
No.
Oh, so chocolatey.
Don't do it. I do remember well, one time.
That buzz.
I do remember one time. Of course, you know, I grew up in the 80s. And there were some drug problems in the 80s. It's true.
Like, keep it G.
But I remember one time when I was the 80s, like in school, some kids had some Smarties and they were like crushing it up on their
I'm
desk.
I'm sorry. Wee, 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 wee. Beep, 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 beep. This is the police. You have to keep it G.
Even and if you friends. Can buy it, do not buy Coco Loco. I don't recommend it. It doesn't
do
sound
recommend.
Like a good idea.
This is an anti-sponsorship.
This is an anti-sponsorship.
They're taking away money from us so we can bash them.
No, don't take my money. What? Pay me to anti-sponsor you. It's controversy. It's good for business.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, we're still giving them exposure.
I have.
Exposed. Exposed.
I have a good quiz.
That's pretty good.
All right. The last time we did a quiz, Phoebe was complaining that our quizzes are not fun enough. They're too...
They were not fun.
They're too not fun. They're too
so
boring.
So this time,
they're
whenever...
too academic.
Whenever we answer a question, if we get it wrong, you slap us.
So this time, I have a quiz that is completely pop culture based. It is actually based on a Twitter hashtag... And it should be kind of funny.
I don't think it should be funny.
So this dad quiz is based on the hashtag explain a film plot badly. There's a hashtag out there on Twitter called explain a film plot badly. And basically what it does is you describe the plot of a movie in a way that's kind of odd and leaves out the names of the characters. And then so what I'm going to do is I'm going to include someone's Twitter post. And then you have to guess the movie that it relates to.
All right, I'm ready.
All right, you might have seen some of these before.
I probably
went
I don't
around
think I
pretty,
have.
Can you
lot.
Text it to us?
No.
Send a phone quiz? Okay.
I have it printed off. I'm just going to give it to you. And then you have to guess it. I will tell you whether you're right or wrong. I'll start out with an easy one. First, explain a film plot badly description. Woman suffers from Stockholm syndrome and hallucinates living furniture.
Beauty and the Beast. Although I have many thoughts on the whole Stockholm syndrome trope thing people might complain
that
about.
That was an easy one. Second one. A dyslexic frog teaches dark magic to an impressionable teen who ends up kissing his twin and getting beaten by his dad.
Star Wars.
Can you be more specific?
Crap. It's not...
Is it
Return of the Jedi? No, that's the third
like
one.
It's like the fifth one.
No, yeah, it's the fifth one. There's
I don't
New
know
Hope.
The names of them.
I think of it as the second one, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know the names of
The Empire
of
Strikes
them.
Back.
I don't care enough about
Very
Star
good.
Wars.
It is the Empire
Strikes
Back.
That's the best
back.
One.
It is the best
it's
one.
It's the best yeah. one.
I don't All right, know, next I've one. I like it. This one a lot. Two coworkers hide a foreign child from government.
Monsters, Inc. That movie makes me cry.
Very good.
All movies make me cry.
These are all movies that either you've seen or you know them well enough
that
you'll know
it. Scary.
Yeah, you were really terrified of that.
2003?
You were terrified of Randall.
Yeah. Fun
Number
fact.
Number four.
Okay, I won't tell my fun fact.
You can tell your fun
okay.
fact.
Okay. I was terrified of Randall. I think I was like two or three when the movie came out.
Randall's the little lizard one
yeah,
that can
I don't
change
like
his
him.
Colors.
And he yeah. disappears. No, he doesn't change his
He's
colors.
All squinty.
He disappears.
He can also change his colors. He can also be like a chameleon.
Chameleon, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, well and he does it so well that he disappears.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, he changes his colors to clear. But I was terrified of him.
Patterns.
I don't know if you remember this, Dad. I was really terrified.
I do remember this, yeah.
Like death. Like, I remember just crying because Elizabeth wouldn't turn it off the TV, and I kept running to see if she had changed it yet, and she hadn't. But I was really terrified of him. And then I went with Elizabeth to see Monsters University when I came out. I was probably like... 14-ish, 3 years ago.
That was three About. Years ago?
It wasn't recently. I don't think I was no. in high school yet. But, wow. So I was probably 13, 14. And I, like, oh my gosh, Dad, stop.
Dad,
I literally hate it.
Picture.
He came on, I, like, had forgotten how terrified I was of him. But when that character came on the screen, I literally, like, jumped. Like, I was suddenly, like, about to, like, launch into a panic attack. I was like, no... Thank you.
Yeah, no, it
Randall
wasn't even
was
like...
voiced by the excellent character actor, Steve Buscemi.
I don't know really? Who that is.
Yeah, he's great.
He's freaky looking.
He's a really good actor, though.
I mean, no offense, Steve Buscemi, you're a little freaky looking.
If you saw him, you'd recognize him. He's in a lot of movies, but he's one of those because he's a character actor.
He was in Spy Kids 3, I think.
Oh, what a good movie. Was that the one with the
girl?
He
was a scientist.
I'll show you a picture.
That lived under the mountain. Yeah,
the one
yeah,
with
yeah.
The that thumbs guy. That would go, help me, or he's a madman, help me, save me.
No, that was the first one.
Oh, I love Spy Kids.
He's in a ton of movies.
Yeah. He looks like Randall.
He does, kind of.
He's got the bulgy eyes, I guess.
Yeah, he's a madman, really help actor, me, though. Save me.
Please stop.
I loved Spy Kids. The one that had the ponytails that like turned into like a jetpack
propellers.
Or something.
Yeah, that was the second
I
one.
I wanted that.
Are you done talking about Randall?
And Spy Kids.
Yes. Can we move to our next one?
The next one's Spy Kids.
Spy Kids.
Number four, teenage girl leaves home to run away with an older man.
Oh boy, that could be any number of ones. Oh, geez.
It's a recent movie.
Oh, not Ariel?
Is it
not
Logan?
Little Mermaid?
It's not The Little Mermaid.
Is it Logan?
It's not Logan.
I need to see Logan.
Although it might apply to that, too.
I think she's a little kid. Whatever. Okay. It could be any number of Disney movies. Wow.
It's a movie we watched not too long ago. It is an animated movie. There's a clue for you.
I don't know.
Okay, it's got to be a Disney movie, right?
It is a Disney movie.
Yes. Okay, so it's a princess
Moana?
Movie? Moana.
It yeah. is Moana.
Yeah, that's not... That is a bad description.
She left without him, though. Like, she left to go find an older man.
Yeah, she left to go find
An older, like, demigod, I guess.
That's like a...
But she left with him.
No, she didn't.
No, she
leave
didn't.
With,
she left
the
to
island
go find him.
To go find him, remember?
Number
Did
five.
Did you even watch the movie, Dad?
I watched it. Twice.
I watched it like 2.5 times.
It's so good. Go watch Moana right now.
Number five.
Sponsored by Moana.
A deranged orphan child kidnaps children in search of his mother and fights a disabled ship captain.
Captain Hook? I mean, not Captain
Peter
Hook.
Pan.
Peter Pan.
Very good.
Wait, what is his...
A deranged orphan child kidnaps children in search of his mother and fights a disabled ship captain.
Yeah, that's not inaccurate, though. Like, it's kind of creepy when you kind of just think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Even a little
this
bit?
This might be my favorite one of the whole quiz.
Okay.
An older sister ruins her younger sister's chance to appear on national television.
Victorious? No, it's a TV show.
That's a TV show. Jeez. Does she, like... Scar?
Older sister.
I want to say Frozen, but like...
I was about to say Frozen, too. That's not right.
I heard older sister, but that's not right. That's
An
not
older
right.
sister ruins her younger sister's chance to appear on national television.
To appear on national television? Oh,
Hunger Games. Why? Why did I know Hunger Games was going to be on the quiz?
Very good.
Hunger Games.
Very good.
Hunger Games.
No, see, I was saying it like Effie Trinket. Hunger Games. That's how she sounds in my Hunger head. Games. Hello, I'm Effie Trinket.
No, right. That's not.
Time to kill some kids.
She wasn't even the one. She helped.
No, I.
All right, number seven.
I advocate for a broken system.
Whatever, Elizabeth.
11-year-old discovers he's special and is sent off to boarding school where he kills his teacher.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. I knew it was going to be on
and
there.
And the Sorcerer's Stone.
Yeah,
and
I knew Harry Potter would be on there and I knew Hunger Games would be on there.
He could inadvertently kill a lot of people. Like, it's fine. It's cool, bro.
I think he killed his teacher on purpose, if you think about it.
No, he did not.
Different. Okay, fact. In the book,
Professor
he's terrified of Professor Quirrell. And like when Professor Quirrell touches him and he like burns and he starts burning, he's like, oh my gosh, this is horrifying, stay away from me. And he doesn't heed his advice because Voldemort's like, no, and takes over control over Quirrell's body to
try and force him.
But in the movie, Quirrell touches him and like starts burning, and then Harry like looks at his hands and then immediately like goes for the face.
Oh yeah, in the movie.
Like he's bloodthirsty in the movie. Yeah. He's like, oh, I can hurt people.
All right, this is a classic one. You might have heard this one before. Transported to a surreal landscape, a young girl kills the first person she meets, then teams up with three strangers
Wizard
to
Oz.
Kill again.
I was also thinking of Wizard of Oz, but I was thinking of the sister one for some reason.
This next one's pretty easy. Depressed, widowed father teams up with a mentally challenged female to find his son.
Finding Nemo. Yeah, sorry.
Very good. And the last... No, there are two more. A love triangle between a young girl, a 100-year-old guy, and a dog.
What? I wanted to say Avatar The Last Airbender.
The bison?
The bison.
A love triangle between a young girl, a 100-year-old guy, and a dog.
Creepy? I feel like I should know this.
Oh, it's Twilight.
Very good.
He's dog. He's a wolf, he's... and he's majestic. Aren't you?
If you say so.
I hated that movie. Last one.
Diverse group of friends and strangers team up to return jewelry.
Super Dolphin, Return of the Magical Amulet.
Wait.
I'm sorry, that's wrong.
Was it a diverse group? I feel like it was just the one dolphin.
Well, he went to the Dolphin King
to return jewelry.
Diverse group of friends and strangers team up to return jewelry.
Return jewelry? I feel like I know this one.
Oh, what's it called? The Hobbit one.
Oh, The Hobbit.
No, not The Hobbit, though.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring.
I'm not a big Lord of the Rings person.
Very good. You guys did really well.
No kidding.
You guys did really well.
The Hobbit one.
We had to read The Hobbit for my GT middle school English class.
There is no way.
I did not enjoy it.
You enjoyed a masterpiece.
I did not. I read it all one day, which is the problem. The day before school started.
Oh, aren't you so special?
So we're going to do another. That is the dad quiz. We're going to do another segment. The first time we've done this segment, this was Elizabeth's idea. Do you want to explain the segment
to
us?
I don't like this one.
Okay. Don't knock your negativity. Be gone.
Okay, fine.
Be gone, negative comments. Basically what this is Dad has written up a list of movies that we haven't seen from before our time. And just based on the title alone, we're going to summarize the plot of the entire movie.
And we're just going to do a couple of these. I've got four movies that were all movies I saw as a child. Some of them, one of them came out when I was 1 year old. One of them came out
1 year old
when I, before I was born, but these were all movies I saw as a child. And I've got the actual movie synopsis or movie summary. But just from the title of the movie, I want you guys to tell me what this movie is about and give me a plot summary of these movies.
This is a different segment than I thought it was. I'm actually okay with this. Okay.
Yeah. I actually get credit for this because we were all having sushi last night and I was like, hey, you know what'd be fun?
I wasn't having sushi last night.
We don't have a name for this segment.
You were working.
I don't know. We might call it Mystery Movie Minute or something.
We don't have a drop, so
I'm just going to use this drop. Isn't this fun? Because it'll be a lot of fun.
Because it will be fun. It'll be Mystery Movie Minute.
I am going to give you a minute. So you have to summarize it in a minute when I say go.
Okay.
There are four movies. Do you want me to just give you a title?
Sure.
All right.
We're taking turns, right?
No, you're gonna do it together.
We're gonna talk over each other.
That's okay. We can wait.
Would you rather do it together, or would you rather do it separately?
I feel like we should each get 30 seconds.
We should do no 1 minute, and then it'd be okay, Phoebe, go, and then the next one would be me.
Elizabeth wouldn't let me talk.
No. I would let you. Let's just do it together. See how it goes.
Okay.
Or you could each do one if you want.
We should just have 30 seconds each.
Let's just both do it together. Because we're siblings and we love each other.
It might be better to do it together. So if one of you has a block or something, you can't think of what to say, you can feed off the other person.
Yeah. So we can bounce ideas off each other.
Yes, and. All right, the first one is a movie from 1965. This is a Disney movie, That Darn Cat. Ready? Go.
So there's a cat.
There's a cat, and it's such a bad cat. The cat,
it's been terrorizing the village.
It's been terrorizing an entire village. Where is this set? Middle Ages?
No, I'm thinking, do I have to guess and that?
A village?
I was thinking a European village in maybe the 1800s.
Yeah, a small hamlet.
Hunchback of Notre Dame. Dom.
Yeah. Okay, so the cat's...
And it's terrorizing the village by...
I don't know, maybe
drinking all of the milk.
Yeah, and stealing all these fish.
30 seconds.
Yeah, okay, and so they have no milk and no fish, and they're going through a famine.
Yeah, and the cat turns to murder eventually.
Yes, one fatal and slowly night. The whole village dies. This giant fat cat left.
A small no.
You can't say
small,
no. It's yes and.
Okay. Then the neighboring village is this terrorizing cat is coming, so they rise up
five
and a
seconds.
Small ragtag group of villagers kills the monstrous cat.
But they all still die.
They all still die.
Because there's, there's no food.
Darn cat.
All right, time's up. That was pretty good. All right, so do you want to hear the actual plot summary?
I think we nailed
it. It's not going to be as good as
this
our movie.
Starred Haley Mills.
I don't know who that is.
She's the one that was in the original Parent Trap.
Mm. The annoying one?
Yeah, exactly. Sisters Ingrid and Patty Randall are fending for themselves in the family home in Santa Monica while their parents are traveling abroad. Patty's Siamese cat, DC, short for darn cat, is a chronic and resourceful explorer heading out every night at 9 p.m. in what is usually a successful search for food, with Patty believing he was having a standard route. This isn't written very well. This is from IMDb. It's a user-submitted summary. I'm going to read a shorter one. A young woman with an active imagination contacts the FBI when her cat, DC, darn cat, comes home wearing a wristwatch. She's convinced that it's a tip-off to crack a bank robbery and kidnapping case that has the authorities baffled. An allergic agent is assigned to tail the cat, to find the hostage, and laugh and romance ensue.
How does romance ensue? Does the cat fall in love with
the... I think the FBI agent falls in love with one of
the
cat's
cat.
Owners.
He's allergic, so it's never meant to be.
But the girl... Isn't the girl little?
There's a younger sister and an older sister.
But they're left to fend for
how
themselves.
How young is the sister?
They have to be... Okay.
How young is the sister, and how does she get an FBI hotline?
You know...
An FBI agent and a girl who's still
60s,
living at home.
Back in the 60s... There were like a lot of kind of creepy, like as long as the girl was like 18, the guy could be like in his 30s or 40s.
But she's still living at home.
It was a little bit creepy.
She's like my age, probably.
It was a different time. It was a simpler time.
She's between my and Elizabeth's age.
How dumb do you have to be to call the FBI when your cat brings home a rando's wristwatch?
Have you guys seen Snowball Express?
No.
All right. Your next movie is Snowball Express.
Okay, so there's a train, and there's a giant snowball. It's running from an avalanche.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it can, if it ever gets below a certain speed limit, it'll get trampled by the avalanche.
Isn't this not like that one movie where like
the movie
the
called?
Bus?
What's that
speed.
Movie? Yes,
speed?
It's actually a prequel to Speed.
Keanu Reeves.
It's the
Santa
original,
Bullock.
Actually. The
yes.
Speed was an adaptation.
So a clever young... I don't even know anything
boy,
about speech.
A young boy detective.
He has to disarm the snowball
before
it crashes into the train, which is hurtling at 80 miles an hour away from
this,
the snowball.
He does this by using a giant flamethrower, probably.
Yes, but then he accidentally like trips and the flamethrower burns down the whole train and millions of families die.
Is this how all of this is going to end
tragic.
Up? Is that millions of people die, Phoebe?
Very
no.
Tragic.
The Hamlet in the other story wasn't millions. It was like maybe like 10,000 max.
Came out with a lot of deaths. Okay, that's it. That's all we really need, though, isn't it?
It's a prequel to Speed.
All right, so it's a thriller involving a train. The actual movie, and this is from 1972. This is the actual plot summary. When John Baxter inherits a ski resort in the Rocky Mountains, he quits his job in New York and moves the family out west to run it, only to find that the place is a wreck. But together, they decide to try and fix it up and run it. But Martin Ridgway, who wants the property, does everything he can to ensure it will fail.
Actually,
boring.
This is one of those Disney movies where the family has to pull
together.
It's like
We Bought a Zoo.
Boring. Kinda, yeah. Where is,
I love We Bought a
where
Zoo.
Where are the flamethrowers? Where no. are the avalanches? Where are the boy detectives and millions of people dying?
I think your movie sounds a lot more fun.
No, the movie plotline I was going to go with.
Harsh ending.
Well, yeah, that's Phoebe's doing. Don't pin that on me.
The movie I was going to go with was like a young entrepreneur setting up an express snowball shops. Snowballs to go.
Do you want to do any more?
Snowballs to go. Yeah, sure.
Yes, please.
Let's do one more. All right, let's do from 1982, Savannah Smiles.
There's a young girl
named Savannah.
She smiles. The end.
For an hour? for 2 hours and 30 minutes.
And then... The townspeople, inspired by her optimism, start a Girl Scout cookie that is the little lemon ones, and they do great. And they're our family's favorite, except for Dad, who hates lemon.
Savannah, she develops a medical condition like halfway through the movie, or maybe she already had it. Maybe it's like a plot twist.
Her face freezes like that.
She literally can't stop smiling. It's tragic, and she's so distraught that people are exploiting her condition like this. She starts to go fund
majorly
me.
Depressed, but she can't stop smiling.
She's crying for the last half of the movie.
It ends in a suicide.
Phoebe, no!
She dies smiling.
Please
15
stop.
Seconds.
They bury her, but no. She's still smiling with a single tear running down her
How chain. Is she crying if she's dead, Phoebe? Please.
The tears dry. There's like a tear mark.
What we're are done? You saying? Yes, we're done. These are all really morbid, Phoebe. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, whatever happened to a happy ending there?
It's happy.
I'm glad you weren't.
No, it is happy.
I'm glad you weren't like you the script so supervisor happy? For all of my childhood movies.
You know why it's so happy? It's because all the tales people secretly were kind of annoyed by Savannah, so it was better off anyway.
Please, right. Phoebe.
Here see, is the actual okay, but, synopsis, and I watched this movie several times because my older sister really liked it. Because
I feel like
this
it was,
really cute little girl in it.
I feel like I heard that it was really depressing anyway. So like. Whatever. Our
and this
isn't
does
that
say
different.
This synopsis from IMDb does say warning contains spoilers.
Okay, so you know if you're planning
the
on
the film centers around a 6-year-old girl named Savannah, okay. whose father is running for the United States Senate. Because Savannah's parents pay no attention to her, she decides to run away, leaving a note before she flees. Unfortunately, her father, fearing the note may hurt his chances of winning the election, burns it and admonishes the maid not to tell anyone. Okay, guys.
That's really depressing.
You're a
That's
senator
terrible.
And your daughter runs away and you're not going to tell anyone?
All right. Yeah, literally. Like
that seems like a little bit
like
of a
you're just going to throw right. away a key prop to your campaign.
When her aunt picks her up and they go to the park, Savannah switches cars and ends up with two escaped and incompetent convicts.
Like Home
the
Alone.
The convicts take her in and soon discover that her father has posted a reward of $100,000 for her safe return. Unexpectedly, they grow close to her, and Savannah finds the love and attention she always wanted.
What the heck?
The convicts arrange to return her with the help of the family priest, but she becomes lost in the mountains. The convicts refuse the opportunity to escape in order to search for her and bring her back safely, ultimately surrendering to the priest and the police.
Wait,
and
what?
And that is Savannah
So what
Smiles.
Happens to the girl?
They find her and return her to her family. But I think
but her family's
they
terrible.
Have to go back to jail. Because at the very beginning of the movie, the one convict breaks his friend out of jail. So they're like fugitives on the run.
But her family's terrible.
No, no, no.
They just
so the
literally
posts,
put her back into an abusive home.
But
the
I
dad
think
posts
they learn,
a reward.
They learn to love her because they appreciate, they once she leaves, they appreciate her and miss
no,
her.
No, but the dad didn't
well,
cover
boy.
Up. The dad didn't cover up that she ran away.
He just covered up the note. The note because
yeah, like
it,
why?
It was
well,
unflattering
yeah, still,
on him, I guess. Yeah.
He covered up.
And he probably made it look
he
like,
probably
it
looked like it was
a kidnapping.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's
no,
so terrible.
Like, keep it secret.
He's an objectively terrible person and, you know.
He's not a good father. He definitely wouldn't have a podcast with his family.
You know,
yeah.
I kind of...
Unless it benefited his
no,
political
I mean,
campaign.
I think that if I was running for a senator, I would be very sad that my daughter ran away. But it doesn't mean I would publicly be like, my daughter ran away because I'm a horrible father.
Well,
like,
yeah, but like, you don't have to like make it public or you don't have to like take her...
Well, yeah, and he didn't.
He can just keep it to himself. He doesn't have to burn it or like admonish the maid or anything. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I guess he might.
Well, yeah, you would be like, hey,
you can
don't
do that
let
without,
this,
like,
don't
burning.
Tell the...
You can
tabloids this.
Yeah,
no,
release
I,
it to the authorities just so that they can figure out like where she went.
Yeah, I would release it to the authorities, but I would still keep it secret.
Or like tell
like,
the
aunt. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's a movie. It's out there. You can watch it if you'd like. Savannah Smiles.
Sorry,
I bet some,
spoiled.
I bet some people who are listening to this have seen this movie before.
Also, I think the convicts
it's
sort of gotten together at the end.
It's not that great of a movie, but... It was a movie.
Inspired
I
the hit
I
Girl
a
Scout cookie.
I don't
a
I
favorite
haven't watched
of podcasters
this movie.
Ever.
I think the convicts should have gotten together at the end. It they really loved each other.
All right.
It inspired a hit Girl Scout cookie. A favorite of podcasters everywhere, except Dad, because he's a loser.
Didn't they take those away though? Like, didn't they stop
no,
making them?
No, they
him?
Still have them.
They still have the lemon
I think
ones?
So. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not a big fan of lemon cookies.
Hot diggity dang.
All right, we have
Gotta
one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is
three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
All right.
Taste yourself.
I am probably as confident as I have ever been that our treat yourself today will be delicious.
So close your eyes and open your mouth.
I can't imagine that this is not delicious, but I've been wrong before. But I really...
Are they Savannah Smiles?
What we have is it is from the company Milka.
Yeah, I've actually tried this.
That's the gross
well,
thing.
Well, kind of.
The Oreo Big Crunch Bar. And it is basically a chocolate bar that has Oreo filling.
You know,
like,
I actually
not like
tried
Oreo.
I tried the other
it's
Oreo
gotta
bar.
It's got to be good.
But I actually didn't try the specific one. I tried the one that's like the circle-y ones.
Let's be precise here. There's not like Oreo flavored filling. It's like a layer of cream, Oreo, cream, Oreo.
What's the deal with Milka anyway?
I don't know. They
Is
have
that a
terrible
company.
Yeah, I think it's European.
Somewhere in Europe, like Belgium or something like that.
Yeah, it's
okay,
like
well,
better.
If it's European chocolate. It's got to be good.
Yeah.
Milka is a brand of chocolate confection which originated in Switzerland in 1901, according to Wikipedia.
I thought it was Cadbury, actually. But
Swiss chocolate around Oreo cookie filling. It's got to be good, right?
I thought it was...
Oh, I got to take a picture
I tried
of this.
The one that was like, you know, the one that like, looks like bubbles and it's filled with like the Oreo cream and the little, it looks like a, it's just like a cookies and cream Hershey's bar, but with, I tried that one, but I think this one's a little different.
All right, this is an Oreo Big Crunch bar. I did get this at
Five Below,
but I saw these in Target today when I was in Target. Yeah. So they're pretty widespread.
They're not hard. I think they're at Walmart too.
Yeah. So we have a Milka Oreo Big Crunch bar. This is the only thing we have for treat yourself, so this should go pretty fast. And like I say, this is about as confident as I've ever been, but I have been wrong before. I thought all the root beer would be good too, and it turned out to be kind of gross.
I really thought those root beer Pop-Tarts would be a hit.
You couldn't have though, right? This seems really, really gross.
Right. Pretty tasty.
Do we have any disagreement about this?
It's really good. It's really, really sweet though.
It is very sweet.
I don't know. If I could have this,
and it's
like,
giant,
all the time.
It's huge. I don't know, like, what the. Let's see how many servings this is. Whoa, a serving is 5 pieces.
Really?
That seems really big.
Wait.
So there's only
rich.
7 servings in this.
Can I see?
It says 7, and it is 230 calories. That actually seems not that bad to me.
Weirdly enough, no.
But it's a really good chocolate. It's better than Hershey's chocolate.
Yeah, it's really
good. Yeah. We don't do chocolate as good here as they do in Europe.
It's really good chocolate, and the stuff inside is tasty. It is super sweet, but it's candy.
It's really sweet.
But it's delicious. I don't think there's any argument that it's anything other
1,610 calories in this bar.
If you eat the whole thing,
it's huge. It's like
there's
the size
no
of your forearm.
One person should never eat it. Unless they're severely depressed, and that's what it takes to get them through.
I don't think that would help you, though.
That probably would not.
We personally feel a lot of guilt
that
afterwards.
That is not solid psychiatric advice.
No, but
I would eat that if I was stressed.
To just get
but
them
then
I
feel kind of
place.
Guilt afterwards and feel worse.
It's really good.
You'd feel
like
mostly
it.
Nauseous, I think. It's huge. It's super sweet. I do not want any more of that. I already did.
I'm a
shift.
Big stress eater, but it usually just brings me more guilt and sadness.
It's good though. It's good chocolate. I recommend it.
I do recommend it. It's pretty... Oh,
but
my gosh.
Share it with like 14 of your friends.
Yeah, please.
You can each have half a serving.
Half a serving
plenty.
Is all it takes. That's all it takes. I already did like a shift at Donut Shop today. So like I'm all sugared out. I can't
Sponsored
eat anymore.
By Donut Shop.
Sponsored by
Donut Shop for anonymous donut eaters everywhere.
And Dr. Pepper.
Donut Shop. We're the genericist.
So that's our podcast.
Bye.
I think... that treat yourself was very straightforward.
Yeah, that was direct and to the point. We just wanted to eat some chocolate on
it
air.
It was kind of a cop out.
We it's just good wanted though. To eat. I'd never
we didn't
had
even
it
talk about like what it tasted like.
It tastes
it's
exactly
very chocolatey. The inside tastes like Oreo cookie.
No,
and
it's
filling.
Not super chocolatey though.
Picture
it's just
eating an Oreo and picture that there's
dipped in
Belgian
Swiss chocolate.
Chocolate. Yeah, Swiss chocolate around it, and that's exactly what it tastes like.
It's just like a fudge dipped Oreo.
Yeah.
It's not fudge, it's milk chocolate.
Yeah, and the cream's a little more like white chocolate. It's not like the actual Oreo cream.
Is it?
Really?
Is
no,
it
it's not. The Oreo cream's different.
That might
than
be
that.
Why it's a little I'm bit on the sweeter side for me. I think
Oreo cream is already sweet a little bit.
I think
bit.
You're right. I think it is white chocolate.
Yeah,
not,
it's not Oreo cream.
Oreo
I know
cream,
my Oreos.
Which
Dad.
Oreo cream basically tastes like shortening and sugar.
I'm not a huge fan of white chocolate, which is why I think I didn't like it as much as you guys. I still thought it was delicious.
You're
I
my white
like,
chocolate.
It does make it
Please
super sweet.
Please stop. Why are you like this?
All right. So that is our podcast. Thank you, Elizabeth and Phoebe, for participating.
No. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone who's listened. If you are listening, let us know. I mentioned on our last podcast, our numbers are starting to go up a little bit.
Yeah, what's with that?
I don't know. Slowly,
Why?
But surely.
Are there bots that like download podcasts?
I'm just encouraged by the fact that our numbers are growing
Every
rather
week.
Than shrinking.
Yeah,
Dad I'd be worried
it.
If they were just sort of trailing off.
Like somehow we got worse.
We said something so offensive that we're actually losing. It's Henry's, all of it Henry's insensitive remarks.
But if you are listening, let us know. You can reach out to us. You can tweet us on Twitter.
Dad, you know where they're going
podcast.
Up?
All the raccoon mentions.
You can email us at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at talktodadpodcast.
The raccoons
and you
are can, tuning in.
You can get to our website, talktodadpodcast.com, if you want to see like our really old episodes that aren't on iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher.
We are now on Stitcher. I think it shows the first 100 on iTunes. So they should be able to be on
there. You
can
find us pretty much everywhere you find podcasts.
Yes.
On iTunes, it only shows the first 10.
No, the first 100.
The latest 10. Maybe it's different for different podcasts. Maybe you can
set that in
your settings.
The ones I watch do the first 100.
When I pull us up on iTunes, I only see the most recent 10.
Oh, wow.
Anyway. And so if you are listening, let us know. We would be interested in hearing, particularly if you're a new listener, like how do you found out about us, what you like. You know, constructive criticism, maybe what you don't like.
Your podcast sucks.
Talk about more raccoons.
But no one is forcing you to listen, so whatever. And if you're interested in participating in the podcast, we will dial you in via Skype and you can be a participant in a segment on the podcast. We did that a couple episodes ago. It was a lot of fun. We plan on doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a lot of fun and we'll see you later.